there yeah. is. What sort of things should you or should you not do at yeah. the dining table?
Yeah.
You know, there's certain things like not having your elbows up on the table.
Oh, really?
Never pass things from chopstick to chopstick.
Oh, yeah.
The one that gets me that I actually fight against ever since I started cooking for myself in Eastern cuisine and also visiting those countries, I will never, until the day I die, I will never stick chopsticks vertically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's actually weird. Did you pick it up? Because I've always get lectured by my parents, like, don't do that. Because
exactly.
that's kind of for, you know, like people passed away.
Exactly.
Already.
Yeah. It looks like incense sticks is what people are saying.
Right.
But but those kind of small things. And then it's interesting, certain different cultures, you will bring the food up to you and you will eat it. Other ones you will kind of go down to the food. It's all these small little things. And
yeah.
I just remember one time I was in Seoul, South Korea, about 9 years ago, and we went out to this fairly fancy restaurant.
Okay.
And it was nice. And in Korea, often you sit on the floor.
Mm.
And it's a table that's maybe only a meter high kind
okay.
of thing.
You gotta remove your shoes,
yeah,
I guess?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right.
You take off your shoes, you're sitting on these cushions, and the food is brought out. There are lots of side dishes. There's a lot of etiquette involved. The utensils are different with thinner metal chopsticks and
yeah.
spoon is commonly the way to do that. But I just remember the friend that I was with, we were with their family and their family friend. So I went to Korea with a friend, and then she had a friend who lived in Korea, and we were invited by her friend's family to go out to this place. And there's a way to take your tea in your dominant hand, support it with your non-dominant hand. So for me, I take it in my right hand, I support it in my hand, and very slowly and gently, you sip the tea and then you set it back down.
Mm.
And I remember her mom looking at me being like, he knows how to drink.
Okay.
And I'm being like, whoa, okay, all right. So maybe that preparation actually is helping.
It is.
And I think it makes a good impression. It also shows that you're trying to do your homework.
Mm.
And you're also not just being a tourist. You're trying to get into the culture more than just a visitor.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think if you go to China or maybe like South America or like even Japan,
mm-hmm.
or even go to different kind of country, even Europe, right? I think people, generally speaking, are very generous and kind to understand that, hey, you are a foreigner, you're
oh,
a tourist.
Absolutely.
We understand it. But if you perform in the way that how do they normally do, they understand that you show extra respect
yes.
because of the preparation you did.
Mm-hmm.
So they will definitely feel close with you immediately.
It's the quickest way. I've told people the quickest way to kind of get to, in America, they say win the minds and the hearts. We will win the minds and the hearts.
Okay.
And it means that you're taking time to understand cultural sensitivity
mm-hmm.
and social practices
right.
that are more than just basic etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
Basic etiquette is like, don't be a slob when you eat, you know.
Yeah.
Be clean and respectful as a
yeah.
person. But to go that step further and read a little bit about the history, what you're supposed to do at the dining table,
yeah.
how you ask for things, being respectful more than just normal.
Yeah.
And you
it surpassed their expectation,
it is.
I would say.
It is. And,
yeah.
But also I've found that I've had experiences that the normal traveler will not have.
Mm,
and
yeah.
for me, I don't want to be just a tourist.
Mm.
I'd rather be a visitor from sometimes a different time period, pulling older aspects of customs and
right.
society. And it's funny, oftentimes I will have good relations with the aunties, the uncles, the parents, the grandparents,
okay, yeah.
because they come from a time where that was expected.
Mm.
And then the younger generation, we're fairly casual.
Mm.
We are very casual with how we do things. And I appreciate that. I think there's a lot of societal pressure that's been lessened.
Right.
Because we understand the world is global,
mm.
things are changing, you don't have to be so strict.
Mm.
But every once in a while, it is nice to have that kind of, you know, not pressure, but more like respect and reserve.
Right. To get yourself tied together. Yeah. Like, yeah, I think sometimes when we don't understand what to do and we don't have the time or energy to do the preparation, if we continue traveling, then I would always choose the way that to show my enthusiasm, to show my appreciation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it could be funny, but I remember like once I had Mexico food at Taco in Vancouver, actually.
Nice.
But like we said, Canadians are more like introverted, or actually they're just like hold the emotion within
it
a little
is.
Bit more.
Yeah,
so I went there with my friend, and then we were sitting by the counter, and then they delivered the food. I had it. I thought it was just really good. So and then when the chef come, and I was like, this is so good.
Yeah.
And then my friend like, are you drunk?
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah. You look like you're drunk. But like, I was literally, I think in the States, if I say, hey, this is amazing, and people just gladly take it.
Yeah.
But then there, I also saw that chef was like, kind of feel like I was drunk. And then my friend was like, you look like you're drunk.
It's interesting.
It was so funny.
I run into that too. Because growing up in a culture that's very... It's very forward facing, and you wear your emotions outward, and you talk about things, and you have strong opinions, and you're not afraid to have opinions.
Exactly, yeah.
And that I will say that that is where I find America and China to actually be the same.
Mm.
People absolutely take care of their group a lot in China, but they're not afraid to have opinions.
I
find that a lot of people who love to have fun and are outgoing and have their
You're
opinions.
Right.
Mainland Chinese people know how to have fun. Same thing with Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Same thing with Taiwan. There's you know how to have fun.
Yeah.
And Canadians, it sometimes feels like, okay, it's okay. You can have fun now.
Yeah.
You're allowed to have fun.
Yeah. I think
I say that as a Canadian.
Yeah,
so.
I think Canadians people are really cute. They really care about how other people feel.
Absolutely.
They care about
don't want anybody to be upset.
Exactly. Yeah. So they are being extremely careful. And I loved it. And after I understand it, I think it's extremely adorable that how much care that they show. And that explained why they're so polite.
Yep.
However, like, you know, as a Chinese person, I remember my friend, I used to do that too. We went to a grocery store or mall, and they give a like eating sample, like snacks. And normally, we were in New York, actually, so they give that. I think normally people try it and then buy or not. And my friend said, oh, it's too salty. And she had no intention to offend anyone, but we're just, like, laughing.
It's just
so Chinese.
And it's not that there's no filter. It's just that it's very direct. We're just going to tell you the observation. Why would we lie to you?
Yeah, because she wanted to help, actually.
Exactly. That is the honesty that you get in the East. And sometimes I miss that, and it's not, like you said, it's not in an intent to offend. It's actually it's meant to be, here's how I really feel about this.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm trusting you with my honest opinion, rather than saying, oh, that's nice.
That's good.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, this is a little too sweet for me.
Yeah, they do, you know? Say like, oh, this is too sweet. And sometimes the intention is trying to help them improve the quality.
Absolutely.
So they can get more popular. But I think this is really the subconsciousness underneath. But it's just kind of funny when you placed it in the Western environment. People are just like, what?
Yeah.
It's you give a comment?
They get taken aback. I will say that in the U.S., being those kind of bold and brash opinions, and that's where I see similarities between China and the U.S., absolutely.
Mm.
One of the points we had here was also one of my favorite things, talking about spice level.
Right.
So it's the same kind of thing. I find that some people may not have grown up with eating spicy food, and also different types of spicy food.
Right.
And in California, you get a lot of Mexican food.
Mm.
And not everything is spicy, but a lot of things are spicy.
Right.
So you just get used to it.
Yeah.
Same thing in China. If you don't like spicy food, maybe go to a different part other than Sichuan. But if you like spicy food, go to Sichuan. It's fantastic.
Yes.
And it's also different spice across different areas. You get spice in Singapore and Malaysia. That's different. Different peppers. You get spice in Taiwan. That's different. You get spice in Sichuan, where you have the mala, the heaven-facing peppers, the Sichuan peppercorns. It's different.
Yeah.
And for me, if you try enough, you get to know not only the region, but also kind of the like agricultural history of an area.
Interesting.
Because so much of what you can grow in an area influences the cuisine.
Right. You're so right. And also the weather is very
important. Huge. It makes a huge difference in what vegetables and livestock and ways of cooking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the cooking that's up north in like Harbin or Heilongjiang or Beijing or Tianjin. It's different.
Yes.
It's very hardy. It's meant to last winters. Down south, everything is quite fresh. There's lots of steam. There's lots of rice dishes, fish.
Yeah.
It light, subtle flavors. You go into the mountains and the jungle to cool yourself off in Sichuan because it is hot and humid there.
Yeah,
you want to sweat.
Exactly.
So, and trying to explain that to people, it's the same thing in California. The reason why we've got all this spice food is it's hot. We need to sweat. We need to cool down.
Oh,
and
really?
It seems counterintuitive.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
eating all this hot food in order to cool down.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's really interesting because I noticed that even Indian food could be very spicy and I loved it. I used to be very, I would say, close-minded, or I just like lack of knowledge. I grew up in Chengdu, so I thought people outside of Sichuan couldn't eat spicy at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so surprised that for example, Mexican food could be really spicy.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I'm not so sure if it's only like the Sichuan area like that or in China. So people could have this a little humor about how to challenge you. Can you eat spicy? Because if you couldn't, we were kind of like laugh at you a little
bit. It's true. It's the same thing in California with Mexican food where there are kind of two levels for Westerners in terms of like European style Americans.
Right.
There's gringo, which is like your basic level, and then you have güero. And gringo is like, no spice for me.
Mm-hmm.
I want my hard shell taco. I want my Taco Bell.
Right.
Güero is like, okay, let's have some more spice in there. Let's actually have some proper stewed meats, some carnitas, you know, some actual dishes where you're trying to get into the cuisine more than just fake versions of stuff.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And definitely another country where spices plays a big part, Korea. And it's a totally different style of spice over there too. And spice is almost seen like, you know, in a video game you get achievements if you unlock certain things.
Right.
So you do something in a game and you unlock it or you get XP for it.
Right.
In Korea, I feel like spiciness is almost a game.
Like, how do you knock
how
the
much
door,
can you
open
yeah
the door.
Exactly
really
yeah.
I had no idea you know more about that. I think that's very interesting because when we talk about cross-cultural communication, this could be something that make us feel, hey, I find people who I can talk to, because I think a lot of people think they are very introverted or shy or maybe have a little bit of language barrier or afraid of like do things that are wrong, but then having a hard time finding topics. So when you talk about like, do I eat spicy food or do I like not eating spicy food? How do we treat this thing? How that could be like a negotiation underneath
it
even.
It is. Yeah. And also I find, because I'm a big fan of spicy food and I eat a lot of different types of food. I think it's a good open-minded way to go about world cuisine. But sometimes it takes my Western friends a little bit of time to get used to food or to get used to spicy things. But you can kind of slowly introduce them to more and more spice or more and more challenging dishes.
Is that your
kind
trick?
Of thing. Yeah. That is my trick. I take them out for, we go for a mild dinner, then we go for a medium dinner, then we go for a spicy dinner.
Yeah, that's funny.
Over time.
Yeah, I think like when I went back to Chengdu last time, which was 2 years ago, and I haven't gone back, I think after 4 years, and then I went back and I had hot pot in Chengdu. We ordered like minor spicy, but me and my friend, we both went back from the States and we're just like, this is crazy spicy. We had like free hot water and just kind of wash it 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we pay the bill, they will ask us, hey, how do you feel about the hot pot? We're like, that's too spicy. And they're like, oh, I know that you probably immigrated just from somewhere else. I'm like, I'm local Chengdunese, like, come on. So it's just like, I definitely feel like I was despised some way.
Spice as a challenge.
That's karma, because I used to, when I was in Chengdu, I ate spicy, and then we call it like yuan yang guo. You know, there's like What's the English name for
it's like Tai Chi. Yes, so yin yang, where you have
yin yang, right?
Yeah, exactly. You have these two halves together, the light and the dark, the white and the black, and it's typically two sides for soup or for hot pot.
Right.
One is normally mild broth, and another is like spicy or very flavorful broth.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you can choose something completely like Cantonese style.
Yeah.
And then you can choose something spicy, so people can eat together even with the shared dining style. So I used to laugh at people because we said for people come to Chengdu for visitors, the biggest kindness we have to people or generosity is to allow them to have the yuanyang guo, the yin yang hot pot style, and then that's kind of like, you know, a funny way to not really pull them down, but I can to laugh at them.
Yeah.
And this time I went back, I was like that. So yeah. I kind of understand it backlash to me. So yeah, be careful.
It's like exercising. You do have to kind of eat spicy food regularly to keep
exactly.
up with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I would say we talk about those topics. It just went so fast. I really wanted to play a song.
Please.
And that's also by Sky. How do you call his full name in English?
In English, I would say Sky is your God.
Okay, yeah, that actually, that is really funny though. So this song called Stacks from All Sides. I love the beginning because it called like, actually, 大展宏图, I think it's Blueprint Supreme.
Yeah, that's a great track. That track was super viral and very, very popular.
Right, okay.
There.
Let's take a look at it.
我送阿嫂茶具和研磨下笔，直接给我四个字帅，大展宏图，大师亲手提笔字，大展宏图，搬来翻在办公室，哎，大展宏图，关公都点头，有料，鸿运不能总是当头，因为
Sky is your god.
Yeah, I mean, like, this song, I feel like I don't mind to call him god for the sake of this song, because this is so good. I'm just going to make it the background soundtrack. And we were talking about how this is the perfect combination of the East and West music style. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a Cantonese opera. I don't even know that Cantonese.
It sounds like it, because Sky is from Huizhou in Guangdong. And it's kind of north of Hong Kong, and so it would go Hong Kong, Shenzhen, and then Huizhou.
And
Dongguan is in that area too.
Yeah, Dongguan, right.
That's a huge city. People have no idea how many people live in that area, the Pearl River Delta, like 90 million people in a very small area.
Yeah.
But if you listen in the background, it's sampling classical Chinese style singing.
Mm.
And we're pretty sure that it's Cantonese opera. We'll have to look it up afterwards. Yeah. But it has this... Then you have rapping in Mandarin, and you have hip-hop production, like drums and beat and everything.
Right.
So it is this blend.
Yeah.
Only through the power of the world being connected and cultures being exchanged would something like this happen.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought that's really amazing, because before we talk about cross-cultural communication, or how do you have negotiation in different kind of aspects in life, even including the formal negotiation in business world, in political world, or in just we talk about the dialing style and all other things that when you make friends, trying to mingle in. And I think the music is really the big thing, that everybody can enjoy it. You don't
Absolutely.
Have to force people or lecture them to be educated, but then they're just welcoming it, just like what we talk about the Black Myth Wukong or other video games that just welcomed by people, because it's just fun to play.
It's just good.
Yes.
And everybody can agree that something is good.
Yeah.
And also, one of the best things that was ever told to me is don't ever stop yourself from interacting with culture just because it's like a language you don't speak or something you're unfamiliar with. Force yourself to go out, get uncomfortable. You're going to have a better time, because you're actually going to broaden your perspectives, and you might make some friends, and also they will want to learn stuff from you and your culture as well too.
Yeah. I would say there is a little bit future episode thing, because now it's the chapter of Connor. We're going to last until at least the end of this year.
Oh, wonderful.
And there's a new year episode that I think that would call it the chapter of Gahana, which might be our upcoming guest, because she is an Indian lady.
Oh, wonderful.
And she studied Chinese medicine, herb medicine, for like a long time, and this is what she does, and she promoted it. I was like jaw dropped, because I was like, what? I have no idea that other people, Indian people, could just really mastering Chinese medicine and use that to cure people's long-term disease. And she told me something that I was like, I really doubt that she grew up in India and learned that in Canada. Like, what? So I think those are the good thing for us to have this cultural bridging communication and the sharing things, to be more international just so naturally, and getting more knowledge, getting more fun in different aspects.
Absolutely. It's such a blessing of where we live here in Vancouver,
right,
that it's very easy to interact with other cultures. And you can interact with Canadian culture, or an American culture, Chinese culture, Indian culture, and it's all just right there.
Right.
So good.
Exactly. I really wanted to appreciate Connor share all those experiences today. Before we finish, I wanted to share with our audiences a little bit thing about the differences between how we sitting arrangement, because I think this is just kind of important, and I forgot to mention where, you know, when you hanging out with a group in China and then you eat food with them. I think it's very important to sit. Like you need to observe that who sits where. Normally, the most senior or the leader sit in the place where directly facing to the door.
It's true.
Yeah, I had no idea about that, and that reminds me, hey, all those differences between like East and West, and you can make mistakes and just not trying to offend anybody, but also being disrespectful for people.
I will say that if you go back a little bit in time, that seating hierarchy is there in the West, and definitely in places like the UK and France and Germany and Spain, where it's more based on like nobility and monarchy. So you'd have these dinners that were very formal, and it was expected that there's a seating order that's arranged. And if you take, for example, when an American president goes to the United Kingdom, a state dinner that's hosted by the royals, the monarch of the United Kingdom, there's a very specific order of who sits where and who has kind of higher social order and precedence. When we're dining casually, not so much, but definitely I always remember if I was invited out somewhere, especially to like a proper Chinese banquet kind of thing, multi-course dinner, 3-4 hours long kind of thing. And you might be invited as the guest of honor. And so you're sitting next to that person who is the main.
Correct.
And so, like, you're not going to be the one that's in the main, but you'll be either directly to the right of them or directly to the left of them, depending on how it's set up. And that is just as important for the sake of the dinner. The person who's hosting it is obviously leading the dinner and taking everyone through the experience, but being invited and then kind of being expected, because you're not there to just sit next to them. You're also expected to introduce yourself to everybody.
Exactly.
You know, share your experiences, and then especially if you've been invited for a special reason, you may be asked to get up and talk. And,
have a speech.
Absolutely. Yeah, and like I think that understanding of like, okay, I'm inviting all of you out to dinner, and one of you is super important to me, and you're going to have to speak to everybody for 10 to 15 minutes. But that's a common thing in, you know, a more formal kind of mainland Chinese style dinner, you know?
Yeah. I know, like, I mean, like, I didn't realize that when I was younger, so I always thought people were, like, push and pull, like, you go.
Yeah.
And just for, you know, like, being humble, sharing the seat for, like, long time. So I brought this up because I think next episode we can talk about how to handle the power dynamic.
Absolutely.
Between
it's
East
different.
And West, and through all this
different.
Thing, I think it would be really helpful for our audiences and for ourselves to understand, hey, this power dynamics exist, but how can we handle it properly and not being like
and also seeing how it's changed over time,
because
I've found when we're talking about things, a lot of things that are not common in Western households, I did actually experience because of a slightly older style of Western household. I think it also has generations have a big thing to do with
it. Yeah, we have a lot to talk next time.
Like every single time. This is always so much fun, Charlotte.
Yeah, so the rest of the 2 minutes, we're going to enjoy this song, and we will expect you the next Thursday talking about how to handle and what the differences about the power dynamics between East and West. And thank you so much, and we are here every Thursday from 12 to 1 p.m. Vancouver time on CJSF 90.1 FM, or listen live at cjsf.ca. You can also watch on WeChat live streaming under 野蛮生长夏洛特. Thank you so much, and see you next week.
Bye bye. 运不能总是当头，因为
一头混着溜溜达上面为歌
谋朝，
七星月悄悄被套进我的河
谋朝，
地女花是我的开的枫叶乐，听人家挥个白雪仙的白云吃个农家乐，太平关系餐厅搬了南京气上还在这，一人幻想鞭炮抹茶沙拉店的外卖盒，路上买个酒也几乎锅里烫个娃娃菜的宵夜，来自大排档我们却被人当大排骨，龙洞养黑不敢喘气，鱼鱼软绵我 stand 我 stand 都给丢盔丢都盔啊妈都不严的还鞠躬，是不是当腮红就要这不懂洋人茶客客客正话洗不动啊，广东街头潮流穿 C 的海印大过 CD 像天杯子 and spa 游泳池水质必须够干净，这是潜规则，老子好绝不会变，为了叉烧包夹蜂蜜点缀的吃的粽子绝对省得碱水的，带着红土我链子练累了电脑
别墅里面唱 K 水池里面银龙鱼，我送阿硕茶具和研磨下笔，直接给我四个字帅，大展宏图，大师亲手提笔字，大展宏图，搬来翻在办公室，哎，大展宏图，关公都点头，有料。